A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, we are proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. People and ideas and innovations shaping the future right here in Greater Milwaukee and beyond. That's what we do on the show. We want to move Milwaukee forward. A city is only as good as the stories it tells. And you know what? You need good teeth to tell good stories. Today, a really fascinating discussion lined up. It kind of sits at the intersection of health and technology and community. When you think about innovation, right, we all kind of go right to what? Technology, maybe finance, maybe manufacturing. But one of the most essential areas of innovation touches our daily lives each and every day, and that's dental care. You're like, whoa, dental care. Yeah, what's the innovation there? Well, from the way that children are taught to floss and brush, yeah, that's essential. But today, dentists are using advanced technology and even artificial intelligence to teach our kids how to keep their teeth clean. The field has undergone enormous transformation. I'll tell you just one little example of how things are changing. Invisalign is now an NFL sponsor. Way better than those metal braces that I used to have when I was a kid. Invisalign, way easier. Easier molds, helping keep the teeth straight and corrected for a lifetime. A much easier, smoother process. Marquette University has the state's only dental school, and one that's leading the way of training kind of the next round of dentists in our area. Joining me in studio will be two wonderful leaders at Marquette. Dr. Kimo Ayun is the president of Marquette University, guiding the institution not only as an academic leader, but as a visionary thinker and really thinking about how innovation and AI and technology are strengthening recruitment and retention in the region. Also, I'm excited to get this from Kimo. He's on tour right now. He's got a full nationwide tour telling the Milwaukee and Marquette story. We're going to hear all about that. Also joining us is Dr. Manal Hamdan. She's a distinguished faculty member at Marquette's School of Dentistry. Dr. Hamdan specializes in digital dentistry and research that's helping redefine how future dentists are trained and how their current patients are experiencing care. She's also deeply invested in teaching the next generation of Wisconsin's dental professionals, ensuring that the entire community, through the community dental program at Marquette, has access to healthy, safe, and effective dental care. So today, we're going to talk about why dental care matters so much. Maybe we're going to teach you a few things about which toothbrush to use, talk about dental floss, maybe even touch on water picks and more, but it's all changing and it's all based on AI and the tried and true practices of brushing and flossing. Coming up next, though, as we do to begin each and every show, we're going to go to Up. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Before we go to Up this morning, producer Jaslyn, did you have braces as a kid?
Why, yes,
your
I
teeth
did.
Are really good. So give me the truth here.
No, I did have braces. I want to say like 2 or 3 years out of my life. They were fine. It didn't really stop me from eating much. I might have broken them. I'm not going to confirm nor deny. But I also, they were fine. But man, did I hate flossing with those things on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had the old school braces too, like the metal ones just on the top teeth. And they worked, but then I had to wear a retainer for years. And true story, I grew up in Wauwatosa. We came down probably once a year to the Marcus Center, and we were up on the balcony, and my retainer fell to the first level. And I'm like, what do I do now? And I think I was like in sixth grade.
Oh, goodness.
I found it. It wasn't broken, but
at least you were wearing
it. Yes. I wore it, and it lived to see another day. But yeah, that's my memory of retainers. A lot has changed in that space, and we're going to learn more about that when we come back from the break. But right now, there's two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. We call this segment Two Up.
Now, it's time for the
Two, count them, two.
Two Up on the Upswing.
First up, next, for Northridge. Northridge Mall. Trivia question here. When did the mall close? 2003. Well, fast forward to 2025. It is officially no more. The mall on 76th Street and Brown Deer Road here in Milwaukee is officially gone, cleared. The path is paved for what's coming next. The city-owned former mall's demolition, which started last year in 2024, was officially completed on September 17th. Meanwhile, Milwaukee Common Council said on September 23rd that it has approved a request for $20,000 to study the full planning and the land use and a full zoning analysis for the complete site. Now, you go back to last year, also you'll remember that the city dedicated $125,000 to Grafe, a local engineering firm. It's actually right here in the avenue, right upstairs from where we're sitting. But Grafe is a design and planning and engineering firm, and they're providing services and going through right now the visioning of what this 58-acre site and the 15 acres of ring roads all around it could become. A lot of opinions out there still. I'd be interested in yours. If you want to follow me on social media, follow the station, and give us your thoughts. I'm thinking a new neighborhood could easily emerge here. A big youth sports center could be a wonderful use. Multi-purpose and mixed use, of course. Even light industrial. But you take a look at what a lot of other markets are doing. These creative lifestyle centers are anchored with a corporate partner, residential, either apartments or condos, and then you fill it in with retail. So I want to think big here at this space because it's a huge opportunity in an area that really needs more opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see what the city continues to do now officially that all the buildings are gone at the old Northridge Mall. Second up, Cobalt Partners has purchased a Mequon water park for $1.35 million. The former JCC water park in Mequon has been sold to the developer. The property right on Market Street on Port Washington's Road Commercial Corridor. How will that be reimagined by Cobalt? Cobalt CEO is Scott Yauch. He's listed as the buyer's agent for the property. They're working with the village of Mequon on ideas to get input. The transaction was recorded September 24th. You look at some of the other projects that Cobalt is doing in the area, and you might get some insight as to maybe what their plans are. Obviously, it's an old water park, so the infrastructure is there to continue as some kind of recreational or sports facility. But other projects the firm has in the works include a $50 million development in Brown Deer that's anchored by a youth sports and mixed-use development. So could you do that up the road in Mequon at this facility? I'm not sure, but I think there's need in the North Shore of Greater Milwaukee for even more spaces for soccer, for basketball, even baseball. There's room out there for additional baseball fields. So it'll be interesting to see what Cobalt Partners is going to do with a former water park at the Harry and Rose Sampson Family Jewish Community Center. Keep an eye on that. Our kids need more spaces to play for sure, and it's definitely in Cobalt's wheelhouse to transform spaces into recreational opportunities. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today, we're talking dental care and why it matters more than ever, especially why it matters to today's students and the role they play in future dental care, the future of the dental workforce, and all these new tools that are coming at us, digital dentistry, AI, all changing our oral health. Dr. Kimoy Aoun, president of Marquette University, joins us in studio. Dr. Manel Hamadan from the School of Dentistry at Marquette. I appreciate both of you spending some time with us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Dr. Hamadan, tell us a little bit about yourself, the first time you've been here, how long you've been at Marquette, and what's your specialty? I saw your title, a really long title, so I'm going to let you explain that.
Well, thank you for having us today, Jeff.
Of course.
I've been here at Marquette for almost 3 years,
Okay. And
my specialty is oral and maxillofacial radiology imaging, which means I focus on interpreting, you know, dental x-rays and 3D scans.
Okay.
And I teach students how to be effective and safe providers when it comes to imaging patients.
Okay. All right. Dr. Kimo, Marquette has the only dental school in the state of Wisconsin. Why is it important not only to the university, but, you know, to the future workforce in the region?
Yeah, thanks. You know, Marquette's mission calls us to be in service to others. And when we're at it best, we create men and women for and with others. And so, you know, when you take that mentality of how you're supposed to approach the world, we're glad to be the only dental school in the state of Wisconsin. We appreciate being able to serve 30,000 clients every year, to touch everyone from just about every county in the state of Wisconsin. So for us, I think it's a responsibility. It's our kind of Catholic Jesuit heritage to be part of it and to continue to serve.
Yeah. There are only, if my research is correct, 73 accredited pre-doctoral dental education programs in the country, 3 in Illinois and obviously 1 in Wisconsin. So there's really not a ton of dental schools in the country.
Yeah, and we say it's in Wisconsin, if you're being treated, odds have it, it's a Marquette-trained dentist.
Yeah, very good. So Dr. Hamadan, the dental care, obviously, truly important to all of us. Give us some of the latest trends that you're seeing from your lens each and every day.
Sure. So one big trend has been shifting the focus from treating problems when they happen to preventing them from happening altogether. So we're seeing more of early visits to dentists, Okay. Fluoride sealants, preventive therapies, and a focus on oral hygiene in kids. You know, we try to emphasize that making sure that your kids' teeth are, you know, healthy to begin with, instead of having to deal with the sequences of dental care, which can be quite complex.
Yeah. I mean, the preventative care, I think, all across medicine is becoming fast forward the last several years. Do you have any good tricks on the parental side? We have a 13-year-old at home. My 17-year-old is turning 18 this weekend. I think he's kind of set. But for the 13-year-old, she's still really developing those day-to-day habits. How do we as a parent best instill those day to day?
I hear you. I have a 4.5-year-old.
Oh, that's even more of a challenge.
And it's so challenging to get them to just stick to the brushing twice a day and flossing and all of that. To me, I like to make it fun for my son. So whether that's songs, their favorite toothbrush, you know, some favorite toothpaste, as long as it has the fluoride.
Okay.
There are apps that track how long you've been brushing. And, you know, rewards help with making sure that kids stay consistent with that.
I remember we had a toothbrush that had like a 3-minute song built into it, right? That it would play as you were brushing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
those really
helped.
So those
little tricks are good.
Absolutely.
Kimo, any good memories with your kids on how you trained them well to floss and brush each and every day?
Well, I mean, similarly, right? Had to make it fun, right?
Yeah.
We bought a lot of superhero and princess toothbrushes that played noise and, you know, do it as a family so you'd get together, a lot of positive reinforcement. Now, I tell you, that works when they're young,
yeah.
But you're talking about a 13-year-old. So you got to go the opposite direction. By the time they do 13, you know nothing. And so you say things like, I do not want you to brush. Don't do it. And then they go and do it because it's not what you want them to do.
Yes, that's good. That's why I truly enjoy having you on the show every month, because I can get some mentorship out of this too, right? That's what it's all about.
I'm getting that mentorship.
Exactly. Yes, I'm learning. We're all constantly learning. So when it comes to dentistry, if I'm walking down the aisle at whatever store, like the amount of toothbrushes and toothpaste and dental floss, it's just seemingly never ending. And if you try to search on Amazon, like how do we as patients find what's best for our dental needs? Brushes, toothpaste, and floss. Do you have any favorites?
I like soft bristles. I think most dentists recommend soft bristles because they do the job without harming gums and teeth. They're not too hard. Any toothbrush with soft bristles would work. I like electronic toothbrushes too. Those help especially with patients with reduced mobility or if you need the extra help with technique. As far as toothpaste goes, anything with fluoride. So no, I can't say one over the other.
You're not gonna give me a
no,
brand name
I cannot
that,
do that.
Okay.
No one is paying me to do that. But as long as it has the fluoride, which protects the tooth structure, then it should be good. Floss, whatever you use is good floss. If it's a floss pick or waxed floss, as long as you use it consistently. So my personal favorite is a floss pick, which is just easier to use.
With
it looks like a
bristles on it that just go in and out of the teeth.
Yeah,
really
it's easier for me to stay consistent when I use that.
Okay. Now, I'd heard maybe some of the products, I'll just say, like Glide, that kind of move through the teeth a little easier. Do you want more like texture on the floss so it grabs more of the plaque? Is that something that you see?
Not really, no. Okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be really textured.
It's all just marketing,
like a waxed floss would work. Yeah, it's all marketing.
Okay.
As long as you get something between the teeth to be able to remove that, you know, extra food in between the teeth, that should be okay.
Okay. All right. Dr. Owen, any favorites in yours when it comes to the toothbrushes and toothpaste?
I'm a Colgate guy.
Colgate? So. All right.
Pretty much if we run out of Colgate, we have problems in my household. I like my electric toothbrush. I love that it's, you know, charged and it's portable and I can take it with me. Probably the number one thing for me were when flossers came out, the ability to have those. I have them everywhere. I have them in my car. I have them in my bathroom. I have a special travel bag when I travel, so I always take them with me. So I always have something. So sometimes if I forget in the morning, then I know it's like, I forgot. I just have some in my little console and we floss on the way to work. Or if I forget even then I've got some in my desk at work. So flossers, big thing for me.
Very good. When we come back, we're going to look at the advanced technologies in dentistry. See what's coming in the future for all of our teeth. This is The Upswing and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of dentistry on today's show through a Marquette lens, because Marquette does have the only dental school in the state of Wisconsin. Well, now, what are some of the new technologies and developments in dentistry that you and your colleagues are teaching to the current students?
So we are very excited that we currently have at Marquette School of Dentistry an innovation center. We basically teach students how to use 3D imaging, digital scanners, computer-aided designs. So patients now can get their prosthesis, crowns, bridges done in the same visit at Marquette School of Dentistry. So it's really exciting that we're seeing all this technology. We also have been getting involved in AI research and AI applications. So it's also great to see the students have hands-on experiences before they graduate into the real world.
What are some of the specific applications of AI in dentistry? Is it for braces? Is it for realignment? Like, give us a couple use cases.
So the two main uses are mostly for diagnosing conditions in the jaws and for improving the efficiency of dentists and the accuracy of dentists. So we are seeing a lot of AI applications that read x-rays instead of radiologists. Now, they're not replacing radiologists yet, but they help as an extra set of eyes finding.
Well, and you have all the data in one location, so it's able to analyze a bigger set.
Exactly. So it's a lot of speed improvement on efficiency and accuracy. The other part that we're seeing a lot of AI in is the workflow, production of prostheses. It just streamlines everything for us now. So it's less clicks for the dentist to produce the final product.
Yeah, very good. Dr. Ayun, obviously AI big on all campuses across the country. How and where is Marquette using it to its maximum? Obviously, the College of Business, I think, is all in.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like anything, as a Catholic Jesuit institution, we look at what's the ethical use of AI. So we're finding the pathway to use it appropriately.
Yeah, yeah.
With that being said, if we are going to prepare our students, we need to make sure that they are AI proficient, understanding where its limits are, where its best uses are, and how to apply it. So you think about business, you know, tracking the market, making decisions, tracking real estate, everything that you might think of where there's big data. AI gives you the capacity to summarize, to make some predictions, to bring it together. But what we say is you still have to have those critical thinking skills because AI gets some things wrong.
Yeah.
So you have to know enough to know when AI has gone off the kind of track so you can know what to use and what not to use.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. I would say, like, AI for me in my day-to-day, I think it helps you, like, go from a writer to an editor really quickly. It helps you go from A to S really quickly. But then you have to get from S to Z on your own, kind of using all the things that I learned when I was at Marquette. You know, it can't just be one or the other. And you got to have those kind of humanitarian guardrails to keep us all in check. Let's shift gears a little bit. I was on campus last Thursday and Friday for the kickoff of Marquette Mentors, which is in its 13th year. I'm proud that I've been able to go through that program each and every year. Dr. Ayun, who are a couple of your mentors now that you're in your first full academic season as president at Marquette?
Yeah, I would say first, I guess, and you look at in the past who helped you to create, make you the person you are today. And Dr. Bill Shank Hamlin, who was my master's advisor at Kansas State, he taught me what it meant to be a professional, be an academic. And the other person, and I've shared this with you before, is I think about being a president, Dr. Mike Lovell, our last president, 24th president of Marquette University. You know, he showed me the pathway of what it means to be a compassionate leader and to be excellent in everything that you do.
Yeah, very good. Dr. Hamdan, any mentors in your life as you were kind of moving up the ranks before you got to Marquette?
I can think of many mentors, honestly. The two that really shaped my career would be my undergraduate faculty in Jordan, who almost steered me into radiology.
All right.
And then also my graduate thesis supervisor. He was a fantastic faculty and also just an overall fantastic person to deal with, who taught me a lot of values and professionalism.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the School of Dentistry, and I think it's still kind of, I don't want to call it a hidden gem, but the community dental program at Marquette is open to everyone, correct?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you have dental care needs, you can walk in as a patient and get examined, have medical work done by a student. Just walk us through that process.
Absolutely. So with Wisconsin's only dental school, we basically have a lot of great experts, faculty, students, and according to where you actually want to get the treatment, you're directed either to faculty practice or dental student clinics.
Okay.
The dental student clinics are wonderful. They're equipped with technology, and students basically provide all the necessary treatments from anything from cleaning to extractions to, you know, crowns, restorations. So I think patients would see all sorts of treatments in the school.
Yeah, and it's great. It's not only a wonderful way for the students to learn, but I think from a community standpoint, I mean, we're all in this together, so
Absolutely.
You're able to kind of be the patient for the student and to help him or her evolve as a medical professional.
I agree.
That's a great thing. When we come back, President Chemo is on tour. Charting Our Course is rolling out nationwide. Dr. Ayun's going to a bunch of different cities across the country to tell the Milwaukee story. Welcome back to The Upswing. We are joined by Marquette President, Dr. Kimo Ayoun, and from the Marquette School of Dentistry, Dr. Hamdan. Dr. Kimo, you had Parents Weekend this past weekend on campus. I'm not a Marquette parent yet. I'm going to get there, though. But I did participate in the Dr. Lovell Memorial Run on Saturday through campus, which was wonderful. I know you were traveling this year, but just talk about that tradition on campus and what it means.
Well, you know, when I think about the 1,918 students who just started a few weeks ago, many of them, right, first time being away from home any extended period of time. Now they're starting to get enmeshed into the Marquette culture. They're becoming part of it, creating their own traditions, having a daily flow of the things that they do. What I really love is to see the parents come back and eat with them in the residence halls, yeah, to see where they go every day to eat their meals, to walk around campus, to see the sights that they see, to go to Mass and to pray with them. Like, that connection is so powerful because the parents are just happy to see the way that their children are growing and developing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the children look forward to the free meals and everything else the parents bring them.
Yes, yes. So you're also, as I mentioned in the intro, you're on a bit of a tour of sorts, right? Across the country, not only talking to alums, but talking to different community leaders about Marquette's future. That national rollout, you've had how many events so far?
Three events so far.
All right.
We'll do 15 by the end of the year.
15, wow, all right. Wow. You ever think you'd be out on tour? You got an entourage and a big stage and like,
I'm still looking
hello
for my roadies.
All right. So what's the goal of this Charting the Course program, and what are some of the biggest questions you're getting from alums around the country?
Yeah. So the goal is to be able to go and connect with alums who have not had the chance to meet me yet. So I was out in Seattle last week, and we had, I don't know, 100 people, 70, 80 people there. But to be able to go, and some of them are alums, some of them are parents of current students, but be able to talk about what's going on at Marquette, why we find this community so special, the momentum we're experiencing, and you know, what my plan, vision for the future of Marquette is. Yeah. And when you know, when I'm out there, I think it's more of a statement. The statement that they make is they're just proud to continue to be connected to Marquette, to be able to hear the momentum, how there are a greater number of students coming to us from different parts of the country, how we're able to raise money for scholarships, how we're able to be successful at retaining and graduating our students, how we're able to get donors to help fund programs that are high impact experiences. So what I hear from our alums is, you know, thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you to the faculty and the staff who continue to mentor these students. And what are the ways that I might be able to step in and help you to make it even better?
Yeah, that's great. I saw posted on one of your social media platforms, you were talking with, was it Jim Eschweiler?
Yeah.
Jim was in my class.
Ah, so Jim brought me some donuts.
Donuts.
Yeah,
oh.
So Jim's the donut guy, CEO of Donuts out there. And so he brought him, and it was a very good donut. I had the maple bar, so make sure you go there.
But make sure you brush after you're eating those donuts, for sure. That's a question I want to kind of, as we wrap up this conversation. We all love our fall desserts in Wisconsin. Doctor, what are your low sugar, better for your teeth options? Like, I'm asking as a dad, I need to have the right cookies on the plate or whatever it may be.
You're asking the wrong person. I have a big sweet tooth, and I mean, I finally found a sweet spot with dark chocolate. So it's good because it has its health benefits, but it also doesn't stick to the teeth as long. Okay. And then also make sure you brush your teeth after you eat your chocolates.
All right. That's a good suggestion no matter what. You have a favorite fall dessert, Dr. Ayoun?
Cherry pie, Door County.
It's
going to stick to your teeth.
All right. And then just, you know, we're kind of in this fall mood here, although it's this weekend in the 80s, which is absolutely beautiful, and I'll take it for another month or so. But favorite fall tradition?
We've made this tradition of going to Bass's pumpkin patch and picking a pumpkin. And we've been doing this for the past 3 years. And I think this is our family tradition in Milwaukee.
I like it. Dr. Ayoun?
So mine is in 3 weeks. We do an annual pilgrimage up to Door County. We'll look at the changing colors that are happening up there. So looking forward to that trip with the family.
Very good. I appreciate you both taking time out of your day to spend it with us and educating us on the future of digital dentistry and AI at Marquette. And enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is that coffee?
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to the Upswing. It was International Coffee Day this past week. I don't know if you saw this, but to honor to the day right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Center District announced a new exclusive partnership with a local coffee maker, Stone Creek Coffee. They said Stone Creek is now the official coffee provider across all the venues, which include the Baird Center, the UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena, and the Miller High Life Theater. So as a former board member for the Wisconsin Center District and a coffee lover, I cheer this for sure. It's a good partnership. And I think it's really important too. Like this past weekend, you had the international Harley dealers in town. So you had 8,000 international Harley-Davidson dealers in town. And they get a little taste of what Milwaukee's all about right at the convention center. So I think these local touches at the Baird Center are really important. So kudos to the Baird Center team for making this partnership come to a reality. But we're going to do a coffee index right now. It's been a while. I know you're thinking, all right, it's 88 degrees outside. I don't need a hot cup of coffee. But we like to keep our eye on the price of coffee. And you look at it. Over the last 12 months, the price of a cup of coffee has climbed 20.9%. And from July to August alone, it was 4%. So that was the biggest one-month jump in the last 14 years. So the suppliers are kind of racing to face the cost of the reciprocal tariffs, which are at times 50%. Obviously, a lot of our coffee comes from Venezuela, Colombia, and Brazil, but we're starting to feel it right here locally. Remember a couple weeks ago, we had the president and CEO of Colectivo Coffee on, and he talked about them kind of holding the line on coffee prices. And I'm usually like a 12-ounce cup of coffee guy. That's my standard go-to. So I like to benchmark that as a price guide. And guess what? I just noticed that Colectivo, the 12-ounce cup of coffee, has gone up to $3.20 when you order through the app. I think it's the same price in stores too. So $3.20 now for that 12-ounce cup of coffee at Colectivo outside of the city of Milwaukee at the 20-cent tax. So $3.40 for a 12-ounce cup of regular coffee. You go to Stone Creek that I just mentioned with its new partnership at the Baird Center. Stone Creek's 12-ounce cup of coffee, $3.25 when ordered through the app. So 5 cents more. Prices are still holding, though, at the Nationals. A little cheaper if you go to the National, like a Starbucks, where you're under $3, I think at like $3.65 still for a 12-ounce. So it'll be interesting to see if people's habits will change. But what I'm hearing a lot, and you see a lot of the research, especially on the drink side, restaurants are able to increase those prices for drinks $5, $6, $7 because that perception is, maybe the food is costing a little bit more, but you know what? $7 for a single drink isn't that much if I'm getting the 16-ounce, the 20-ounce, and there's a bunch of great flavors in it, and it's giving me a little bit of that buzz or that hit that I need. So I think that's another trend to pay big attention to in the community and commerce space is the increase of drink prices because, yes, the market is dictating it, but we as consumers, we're saying, all right, we don't care. We're going to keep buying. So pay attention to that. Another thing we're going to do is, especially on the weekends, is continue to go to our favorite grocery store. And I got to be honest here, it is super easy when you get to the grocery store to get mad, right? It's not my personality, but the annoyances can stack up a little bit. Don't claim you haven't been there because if you do, you are lying. The list of annoyances at a grocery store can be pretty long. I can never find a paper bag. I don't know what the deal is. The expiration dates on the products, like I don't know, they move like the expiring stuff up a little closer. So I have to reach in back to find the fresher stuff. The self-checkout lines are always just crawling at this slow speed. The codes never swipe. And if you try to use a coupon, Producer Jasmine, like I got to call somebody over and it takes like 10 minutes to get that coupon scanned. This is like a hyper-personal beef here, but the Eastside Whole Foods store, which is one of the largest square feet stores in the country, they replaced their whole cafe with an Amazon station now, you know, for checkouts and deliveries and Amazon return stations. So you have this long line of Amazon returns there. It just kind of takes away from the grocery store experience. But I don't know. And I kind of do a lot of like just-in-time inventory management on the grocery side. So I grab those handheld baskets often in the store. I don't know. I can never find them. So, and then you get the big cart and you try to take it out to the parking lot and the carts lock up if you try to take them too far because they don't want people stealing them. So there's a lot of things that can annoy you at the grocery store. But I'm here to tell you, I want you to reframe all this because this is the upswing and we're going to talk about loving our communities. I like to say, let's think, all right, we get to go to the grocery store. We have a ton of wonderful options. You got Sendix, you got Fresh Time, Pick and Save, Gloriosa's, Woodman's. Producer Jasmine was just at Woodman's. That place is amazing. You got Pete's Fruit Market, Outpost, El Rey, Trader Joe's, Aldi. There's so many amazing options. So I think we got to embrace them all and kind of cherish that we have the opportunity to make this selection. But a true story here that as I wrap up here, but last Sunday, I was at our neighborhood store and I got home from shopping. I had this full list. I felt really good about myself. I wasn't annoyed anymore. Put all the bags on the counter. My wife says to me, where's the ham and where's the cheese and the celery? I'm like, I know I bought the ham and the cheese and the celery. Of course, I left that bag at the store. So I drove back to the store and I found out that they had already restocked him. But I walked in and like they recognized me for whatever reason and came up to me and said, you know what, sir? You left your cheese, your ham, and your celery. Just go find it, take it out. You don't have to deal with an exchange or whatever. Gave the clerk a fist bump and said, you know what? Thank you for that customer service. You made me feel good. You solved the problem instantly. And you just, I don't know, you made me smile. So kudos, if I will, as we close the show here, to the hardworking people everywhere, because it's not easy out there, especially at the grocery store. You got inventory, you got theft prevention, you got labor shortages. Like, there's a lot to just kind of be annoyed about when you go shopping. But most days, we still walk out of the store with what we need, and often with a really good experience. And oftentimes, you forget something, you walk back in, they remember you, and they handle your challenge with a smile. I like that. A little good lesson for all of us as we make our way through the great Milwaukee weekend.